This is Mathematics After Hours.
Oh hey, it's Rack Addicts After Hours time. You're listening to a music and technology podcast. My name is Ben, Pete is here, and we begin by catching up on what we've done in the past week. And I'm going to go first, because I can. I went to Brighton.
Brighton?
This weekend.
I was in Brighton this weekend.
So you were. We weren't in the same place, folks. I was at an alcohol-free bar.
No, I wasn't in a bar.
You weren't? Oh, shame. It was really cool, actually. Apart from being a cool bar, it's a cool concept. Sitting by an entire wall, I think four big fridges full of different alcohol-free beers. It was amazing. And I drove there, because I could. It was great. Good fun. What I thought was interesting were their cocktails, which were amazing. But I'm an old-fashioned kind of person. That's the only cocktail I'll go for. And that was where they fell down a bit. Lots of people tried it, and the consensus was vanilla frazzles.
Vanilla frazzles.
Can you imagine vanilla-flavoured frazzles?
I'm trying to recall what frazzles taste like. A bit bacony, aren't they?
Yeah, it's like weirdly artificial bacon that you get. But like the cheap artificial bacon.
Yeah, I have noticed that with all those type of snacks now. When I eat them, they just like slightly flavoured polystyrene.
Chemicals are delicious. But other than that, it was amazing. Just not the old-fashioned. I also did my weekend old man tinkering with my bike. Got my new friction shifter so I can live the past and the future with 11 speeds of... Got a 50 tooth on the cassette at the back, which is hilarious. The past and the future on one bike. It's worked well, as well as some new bar tape, which is machine washable, so it's reusable. So that's quite fun. Lastly, these are very insignificant parts of my week because all I've been doing is working and it's really not very exciting. But upon retrieving my SM7B from the bag that it knocks around in when I come to Pete's, it has picked up a bit of patina, battle scars, only small ones, but it's quite pleasing. Like the little kind of tightny things on the sides have some sort of scrapey bits and there's some knocks on the corners and it's pleasing. Do you have any items that have a good patina? Would you be upset if any of them did? Because you're quite precious about your synths, at least.
Yes, all that type of stuff. But the case for my Leatherman is got a kind of...
That'll be a good one.
Sheen, a kind of look to it. Mm. Also, my Greenland West Coast wallet.
Ah, wallets are a great one.
And it's a sort of buckskin initially when you first get them. Now it's got a polished sheen all over it.
Yeah.
Where it's been sliding in and out of my back pocket for the last some years.
I like it when you get those kind of outlines of the cards that are always there. That's quite fun.
Yes, but it is starting to show its age, so I think a third one might need to be ordered from Amazon.
How long have the other ones lasted?
They tend to last a good, I want to say about 8 years.
Not bad, not bad. What's the first point of failure?
Sometimes it's the part where the chain affixes to the wallet.
Yeah.
And that there's a little eyelet
reinforcement
thingy,
doodad.
And that can tear out eventually. And then the inside sort of, I don't know if you could say rot, but they just... The lining starts.
Oh, it got kind of a fabric in there.
Apparently, it's also RF screened.
Oh, right. One of those.
So you shouldn't suffer from anyone trying to scan your cards.
In the wallet department, since we're talking about wallets, and I like wallets. Wallets are fun. I have one of... You've seen these heavily advertised.
Yes, I have.
I got mine before everybody was sponsored by Ridge Wallet. Sorry, I had to do it. Yes. So mine's the original kind of just black aluminium one, like loads of the anodizing. It's just gone. It was flat black once. I wish they made a brass version of this. I'd have it instantly. I'm a sucker for brass.
Are they all the same make, or are there lots of imitations?
I don't know if Ridge Wallet was the first, but there are many, many versions of the two metal plates with elastic in the middle format. Because, of course, there were small leather wallets, which were basically one card size and maybe six thick or something. And then they got popular and subgenres began. But I've been pleased with it.
They make all sorts of claims for those things, don't they?
I've no idea. I like it. I think it's another one. Yeah, it's supposed to be RF shielding and beat the pocket bulge. I don't know. I don't care. I just like the thing that has been going for a very long time. I can't remember if I've mentioned this on the podcast, but I put anniversaries of things in my calendar because it's pleasing when it comes across and go, ooh, I've had that for 7 years. And it reminds me of the faithful service of objects. So let's see what I've got. So I have my watch, which actually I am not wearing because it needs some TLC. Well, it needs a new battery, but I think its innards need a bit of a seeing to. That's been with me for nearly 10 years. Ooh, actually, it will be 10 years this Christmas. Oh, that's wonderful.
I assume it was a Christmas present.
It was indeed, and it was a surprise Christmas present because I hadn't asked for a watch or anything. But I have quite skinny wrists, and you know how lots of men's watches tend to be, I think 42 is a standard size, but then a lot of them are just big.
We're talking about the dial diameter.
Yeah, exactly. Some of them are just massive.
Yes.
And it just doesn't look right. So a 38 millimeter. Is the size that I go for. And they're not that easy to find.
Yeah,
they weren't at the time.
That's
anyway.
Quite a small watch, isn't it?
It's not massive. And I have found the replacement when it eventually is beyond repair, which may happen. But it's not easy to find 38mm chronographs. I don't know what the subgenres of chronograph are because I'm not a watch person, but I like analog things. But sort of a slightly, you wind it yourself, but it has the thing in the back, the fully analog doodad, and the chronograph being a stopwatch that has seconds, minutes, and then a 24-hour and a date window. That's the combination. There's not a lot of them.
Not in that size, anyway.
No.
Not that I'm an aficionado, but I do watch a couple of channels that do feature watches on occasion.
An excellent recommendation of yours a while ago was Wristwatch Revival, which I watched a good amount of after you recommended it. That's a brilliant one. But yeah.
Yeah, it's quite a skill, being able to dismantle a watch and then reassemble it and it actually works.
Absolutely. It's wonderful to watch. So there's a blast from the miscellaneous multimedia recommendation past, Wristwatch Revival. Anyway, that is my week. Pete,
well, I was just going to say, before we jump into what I've been up to, I'm not a massive watch wearer, although I do possess various watches and even quite expensive watches.
Ooh.
But I'm considering at the moment a Apple Watch.
Oh my, interesting.
Mainly for the functions other than timekeeping.
Like WhatsApp notifications that might actually work.
Well, I think it also does quite a lot of biofeedback stuff.
It does, yeah.
So a lot of health monitoring type things. So that's why I'm sort of considering it.
I think around, or maybe not now specifically, but you know, a good 4 years after they began is probably a good place to start buying smartwatches because they were bad when they first started. The battery life was awful. They didn't really do anything.
I believe the Apple Watch is in its 9th edition.
Wow, been a few.
Yes, and they've changed shape somewhat and thickness and other bits and pieces and certainly have a lot more functionality than they did originally.
Definitely.
Anyway, I've been mostly acting as a logistics agent for Mark and his sale items.
Yes, indeed.
So he's been pinging over his orders that he's been getting from Reverb and I have been dispatching them to customers.
Amazing.
Literally one a day.
Wow. Any interesting ones go out this past week?
What has gone out this week or over the last week? A Pamela's original workout, a Zeus bus with power supply, a Big Sky, which I might have mentioned.
Oh, yeah, mentioned that last week.
And today, a Behringer ADAT.
Oh, 19-inch. I was still thinking modular and I was really confused.
Yeah, sorry, I switched formats there on you.
How rude. Without warning.
So, apart from all the logisticking, if that's
being
even
a warehouse.
Word, yes, being a warehouse. It's occurred to me, or latterly, it's dawned on me, or I have come to the realisation, that the Axis virus is not a thing anymore.
Is that the only thing Access the company? Is that the only thing they made?
Well, their website is www.virus.com.
Oh, that's confusing.
I believe. But no, we had an inquiry and then we went to have a look and then realised we couldn't supply one because they've been withdrawn.
Oh, any other little nuggets of information?
Exactly. And I did a load of searching, sort of, why has the Access virus been discontinued? And I didn't get anything. It might have been something that slipped under the radar and has been in place for quite some time, but
yeah,
I only clocked it this weekend.
I was scanning through and I saw an article saying, oh, virus alternatives, and I thought, yeah, whatever. Let me see if that's got any info.
I mean, we've known for quite a number of years that it didn't support current operating systems. Certainly certainly isn't supported by the latest Mac OS, and I didn't think it played too well with Windows 10 or even Windows 11. And there hadn't been any further development for a number of years. And then so I went to the website, and when you try and click to purchase, it just goes, sorry, this is no longer available.
Yeah, the article that I mentioned is clearly missing something, because ever wondered why the virus is still around? Seems not.
No, it isn't. There is still a possibility that you can buy a desktop version from Access or Virus or whatever they call themselves, but that might just be residual stock. I don't know, and doesn't seem to be a replacement.
Death of an icon?
Possibly, but we know all the effort had gone into the Kemper.
Is that same company?
Yes, same person.
It's just one person.
Well, the company's not one person, but the main guy, that's where his effort had gone into it, apparently.
Yeah, no kind of overarching company on that either. It's just Kemper Amps. That's the... Confusing.
Yes. I assume the Kemper uses similar technology in certain areas, possibly.
You could easily share effects, I imagine. What's the big deal with a virus? You've got one. Why? I've never played one,
Kind of got this cultish kind of reputation right from the get-go. I think it was one of the early really good...
It's virtual analog.
Analog modeling type of technologies. Then it went through a various iterations, the A, B, and C, and then the TI, which stood for total integration, which meant that you had a kind of virtual version plugin type thing running on your system, but you had to have the actual Access Virus synth as a massive, very expensive dongle to run the virtual version. But I found it was interesting, but I found it certainly conflicted with my system because it started treating the Access Virus as an audio interface.
Interesting.
Which, as most people will be aware, doesn't please systems in anything. You know, it's for God's sake, which audio interface do you want me to talk to? Because I can only talk to one.
Unless you're running a Mac and then you can do whatever you want.
Okay. It's maybe that was it. Maybe it was initially more Mac suitable. Certainly on the PC, it really did seem to hose things up somewhat. So I just resorted to using it as a standalone synth. And quite frankly, it's now languishing in one of the flight cases in that tower of flight cases.
In the mountain.
Most probably said this before, but I also found it did not play well in mixes with analog equipment.
Interesting. In what way?
It just sounded slightly incongruous. It just didn't sit well, so you ended up trying to process various bits and pieces. And then
top-end fizziness or something? That's what you always expect with digital stuff.
You know how certain synths sit together quite nicely in mixes? The sounds, kind of the harmonics, everything complements it. It just jarred with analog equipment. Then you'd worked processing the analog equipment, and then it worked, but then you processed all the analogness out the analog equipment.
Right.
So it was pointless, so I just kept them apart. It's fine on its own in isolation, but as I say, it just didn't sit well with real analog equipment.
I seem to remember you had a similar complaint about a synth. I can't remember what it was, but it was just too big to be with anything else.
Well, that was the Moog 1.
That would make sense.
The sound was so fat, or some of the patches were so fat, you just couldn't get anything else in a mix. You'd just have it on its own, especially when it's fully layered up, triple layered, just really fat.
What I'm really pleased about with some of the test chamber stuff is Jeremy's track, Plain Waves, which has, it's been a grower, that one. It's really grown on me. But the tone that he used for the strange, sort of an organ sounding melody, that was a Moog 1. And that's the only time I've gone, oh yeah, it's a cool synth.
So he owned one then?
Mm-hmm.
8 voice, 16 voice?
Don't know, actually. I never asked. It was certainly in a beast of a flight case, though, when he brought it.
Pick them up. Relatively inexpensive at the moment.
I'm not tempted.
No, better be quick before they become a collector's item.
Yeah. Well, they're already out of production, aren't they?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
For over a year.
Yeah. Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah, they stopped certainly sometime in 2022, I want to say. And now, who knows?
Yeah.
With the rumours that production is going to move to South Korea and things like that.
Yeah, I think the last we heard was that there would be some stuff that stays in America. So the modular things, I don't know why they keep making those. And supposedly some of the higher end ones, but other than the one, what else was there that you'd call high end?
Just the modular stuff.
Because I mean, the Matriarch was expensive, but it was still, you know, that's definitely something that they can easily push overseas.
Yes, it was sort of loosely based on the modular stuff.
Yeah, supposedly the circuits and such were just surface mounterized.
I still need
designs.
To buy one of those.
They are so cool. I think you missed the boat on the black edition though, didn't you?
Well, that was my fault because I was just about to lay down the cash, and then I swerved and bought the Polybrute.
Oh, yeah, which then promptly went back.
which I returned within 24 hours.
Yeah.
And it kind of took the sting out, and then I threw a load of money towards Eurorack Modular.
Mm. Oh, and, well, when did your Osmos pre-order go in?
I want to say a year ago. I don't know. I've lost the will to live in that department. Yeah, I've gone beyond ambivalence with it. I think I'm almost like I don't care anymore. I've lost, and apparently the reviews aren't great.
Really?
Yeah, I've heard tell that people are not over pleased with it.
I suppose we've had it, enough people have had it for long enough that honeymoon periods will probably be over by now.
Quite possibly.
Interesting. I have to look up some of those.
But every so often I get an email saying it's been delayed again, and it just goes on, so.
Yep, that's a thing.
Yep.
Speaking of Polyphonic Aftertouch and things, guess who's back?
I have no idea.
Ah, Rolly.
Okay.
They're back again, despite, I think they went bust at one point.
Yes, they did.
And now they're back.
Well, they got refinancing, didn't
they? Yeah, and nothing has changed. So they've got the Seaboard Block M back, you know, the little one.
Yeah.
Supposedly, the changes are more customization of the response of the key waves. Wow. Improved velocity response curve. Wow. You can switch between presets by holding the side button and pressing the octave left and right buttons. Wow. There is a refined, durable design, sure. And the only major difference is that there is a 3.5mm MIDI output. Wow.
Well, I haven't seen any in the shop, so I don't believe we're stocking it.
Pre-order at the moment, £300.
Is it all direct now, by any chance?
I would imagine so.
There's a lot of, well, I say a lot, several manufacturers have gone in that direction, including Chase Bliss.
Oh, right. Who are they distributed by? Do you remember?
Themselves. You can only get them from...
I mean, before. Or were they always like that?
I don't know who the distributor was for the UK, but now the only source
is... just them.
Them.
Mm. So, yeah, there you go. Rolly still trying for some reason. Cool. On to more exciting things. It's the Modular section of news, and there is a cool new, I think, is this available now? It may be. Bethaco module called Voltio, which is basically a precision adder. So you've got two knobs, an octave / volt controller, which either goes ±5 or 0 to 10 in 1 volt increments, and you then have a semitone dial from C all the way back round to C, which is pretty cool. Interestingly, you have a separate ground input on this, so it wants extra grounding. That's interesting. Ooh, hang on. What's going on here? Well, it's got a sum in and out, and then it's got kind of a black and red ground. Are those banana connectors on there as well as 3.5mm? But it's a Eurorack module? What's going on? I must find out. I know, this is a prototype / concept on the modular grid. I can find no more information on Tinternet. Tis merely the modular grid entry. I'm intrigued about what these potentially banana-ish connections are for. Ooh, I have an idea. It says, somewhere between a music tool and a piece of electronics lab gear. That'll be so you can connect a couple of probes to it and use it as a voltage source like that. That could be very useful for calibrating things, I would imagine. Awesome. Bethaco are great. Now, Sebsongs. They have a new module which looks super cool. It is called Sampler. I will let you guess what it is. But it is one of those kind of teensy daisy type based things. But it is a 12-bit kind of thing, so you've got some crunch. Your controls are start, length. You have a button for sample, and another button, maybe. There's a pitch control, looping, a clear button, an input which I believe has a sort of gain stage in there. CV inputs for sample, reset, start, length, pitch, and then there's an output, of course. Let's have a listen. Give me a sec. Just turning it up.
Power its own program. All of all law develop.
Sounds fun. That's all hands-on control. No CV on there.
Okay.
Pretty fun. And of course, it's Seb Songs, so it'll be available from Thonk as a kit. I think it is actually available now. Let's check the price.
Having said that, is there some CV on there that you can manipulate it with?
Yes, indeed. The inputs I read out earlier.
Okay.
And it's got sliders for the start and length, which is really nice. £125 plus VAT. Not too bad.
Seems relatively reasonable.
Indeed. So the sample rate, depending on the pitch setting, 40 kilohertz down to 10, bit depth 12-bit for the crunch. And let's have a look at the build document. How much fun is it going to be? There is a single through-hole component.
One.
Not through-hole, sorry. There is a single surface mount component, and it's big. It's a voltage regulator, I think. Yes.
Is it pre-soldered?
No. You get to do it yourself.
Scary stuff.
Not at all. It's massive. And then the rest is standard through-hole. And then, what is it? Is it a teensy? Is it a thing? Well, that looks like a teensy, or it's very small. Ah, it's an itsy bitsy, apparently. I've not heard of that one before. Imagine it's one of the usual type of things.
What colour's the faceplate?
Green. Oh, wait, no, you're talking about the module.
Yeah.
It's silver. You're giving the moth.
I know. Still might get one.
Yeah, they're pretty cool. Pretty cool. I do like the Seb Song stuff. I built two odds, one for myself before I sold it, and one for Ant, and that was all surface mount, which was super cool. And I think subsequent kits were planned to be all through hole with the surface mount pre-done, which is sad. Let's see if that is the case. Build instructions. Oh, no, it is still surface mount. That's good. Good fun. Anyway, I think you'll be excited about this next one, Pete. Chaos Devices.
Okay.
It's a refresh of possibly their most classic. Which one do you think?
Until you tell me, I'm not going to know.
It's Batumi.
I see.
Batumi 2, in fact. It looks almost exactly the same. The only way I would know is there are two buttons now, instead of just the one in the middle.
Okay.
The changes are all new hardware and software. It was probably a chip shortage necessity turned opportunity, I would imagine. New waveforms for the assign output, including random. I'll need to look up what those are if I can find out. Potentially on the next module, because there's a new expander as well. There is a new frequency multiplication mode to complement the divide mode. The frequency range goes well into the audio rate, and it tracks 1 volt per octave, so you have 4 VCOs with multiple waveforms, should you want them. And, ooh, it seems there's a new mode called phrase. But again, this one is still prototype/concept, so we don't have the full details. But Potty 2, the expander, has 3 potentiometers, 4 jacks, 1 button, 4 three-way switches, and it's 4 HP. Amazing. Not the 3 of the old one. This allows you per channel input and output attenuation for the sine and assign outputs, per channel shape modulation with switchable destination, wave folding, shape switching, and PWM. It automatically stores settings, and there's an LED showing you discrepancy between the stored setting and the current pot position. So it looks like you've got 3 parameters per channel, and then you press a channel select button to toggle through. So this gives you outputs for shape A, B, C, and D. Hang on, are those inputs? Hang on a second. I don't know. More info eventually, one would hope, but depending on how you use it, possibly not one to rush out and replace your Batumi with when it's released, but it's cool.
Eventually. I think we're going to see a lot of manufacturers having to scuttle around rather quickly and redesign their modules because this semiconductor shortage isn't letting up at all.
Yeah, so we've had the noise engineering stuff, the Ateratasses, Batumi. I'm sure there's one other that's happened quite recently. Can you remember one?
I can't offhand, but I have heard that several modular manufacturers have gone to the wall specifically because of the chip shortages.
That's no good. Finally, a drone synth. The Decade Bridge Olbers patchable 4 oscillator analog drone synth. Take a gander with your flappy flappy side things.
Flappy flappy side things.
lots of hands-on control, lots of patch points, and a built-in LDR, because why not? You can control the oscillators with that. It also ships with a small external 9-volt battery-powered module thing for boosting small signals, or low-amplitude signals, for modulating the oscillators. Delay not included, sadly. So it all goes through, there's four oscillators, they all go through a single filter. All four voices have their own oscillator with variable wave shapes, and it's kind of nice. Not earth-shattering, but it's nice. A special intro price of €270. Seems vaguely reasonable for a very small manufacturer, and it looks all right.
Yeah, that's quite a lot going on there, isn't it?
Mm.
It kind of gives me, I don't know, it makes me think of the Lyra 8.
Anything drone and sort of four or eight voices is kind of competing in that ballpark, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes.
So, what can I deduce? An LDR per voice, switchable. You've got range controls for each. You've got a volume potentiometer. Is that a pitch input thing, then a pitch control? Filter has resonance control, CV. Rate and depth per LFO. Reset inputs. It looks like you get triangle, saw, and ramp on your LFOs. Center positive, standard 9-volt barrel jack thing. So don't plug your pedal power supply into it. That would be bad. There we are. The news is complete, and it's time for the miscellaneous multimedia recommendation. I'm going to do an Instagram account, I think, for the first time. First time I've done one, anyway. This will be Digital Punk GFX. Nice and easy to remember. This is a gentle chap from the Scotlandshire, who I believe uses a lot of Notch to do very cool things. And a lot of it is music-based. Worth a gander. We can't play this because I think it's copyrighted, but I want to show you, Pete. Indeed. So, this one, what does he say about it? Nothing, apart from the song title and Made with Notch. So, Notch is a video production software that I will sum up badly if I try. So, go and visit their website and go and look at the Made with Notch thing, and you'll see that every giant artist in the world has had shows that feature Notch. But these are all kind of, I think, I'm not even going to try. I'm going to get it wrong. But the idea with Notch is that it's all kind of rendered live rather than pre-made visuals that are just kind of VJ'd. It's all interactive and live. And
real time.
That's the word I wanted. Real time. That's what it's for. And it's super cool.
Yeah, it did look great.
Yeah. Digital Punk GF.
I'm going to have to look at Notch myself.
Indeed. Once I've actually learned how to use it at all in any meaningful way, I'll definitely show you what I've made, but it's difficult. It's very difficult. There was one super cool video. I'll see if I can find it for you. It was Printworks. It's Printworks with an X or Works spelled right.
I don't know.
Ah, have I found it?
It no longer exists anyway.
Yeah.
I've seen that show in several locations. Not personally. I've seen videos of it. Same show in different club, different super clubs and different auditoriums and things.
Yeah.
And also different variants of the figure. Because in that one, it's a robot.
Yeah, I imagine if you put that much work into something super cool, you're going to want to use it a lot.
And then the other time, it was like a manga character, but doing the same movements.
Oh, yeah.
So the several iterations of it. Same track, same DJ, but it is super cool. Anthony was showing me that.
Oh, yeah. He shows it to everybody because it's amazing. And that's the WhatsApp chat I was searching through. Anyway, Pete, take us away. The end of the episode is yours. Who are you miscellaneously recommendonizing? It's definitely a word. Look it up.
Right. This is a little YouTube channel from my subscription list. And basically, it's called Coolest Thing. And it seems to feature mainly things that people have built. And they range from all sorts of stuff, including, if I read some of the titles, including the latest video from the channel called Birdhouse Mansions, the world's largest, coolest things I've ever made. And that's episode 25. So they haven't got a lot of videos on there. Some of the other titles include Mini Yankees Stadium, Homemade, Cool. Man Welds Life-Size GOT Steel Dragon.
Oh, that'll be Game of Thrones GOT, won't it?
And here's some more. Driving in Homemade Submarines.
That makes me think Scrap Heap Challenge.
Yeah, they look a bit more
pro than that.
A bit more designed than that. A bit more submariney. And what else have we got here? How Matchstick Art is Made. It seems to be a recreation of the Hogwarts school made out of matchsticks.
Oh, wow.
From what I can tell from the thumbnail. What else we got here? Man Build Working Mech. And Hacksmith turns fiction gadgets into working prototypes.
Oh, interesting. So they did a thing on Hacksmith. So that was just a separate YouTube channel, isn't it?
Yes. So again, only about 25 videos on the channel, but they all seem to be worth a watch. So that's my multimedia recommendation for this week, the YouTube channel Coolest Thing.
Good stuff. Audience, you wonderful humans, you, I assume you're humans and not aliens, thank you for listening. And if you've got a spare 53 minutes and 10 seconds, you can head on over to tinyurl.com/rackaddicts to listen to our After Hours Tunes, the playlist that is, indeed, still free of metal. And in fact, we've got a Rack Addicts tune in there. I think I better put one of mine in there. Let me do that quickly, just because I can. A secret extra tune for you. Homemade. Two homemade tracks in there. You can reach out to us on social media at Rack Addicts UK. And we hope you tune into the next one. Farewell!